It's here and now. Many Broadway singers perform 8 shows a week, belting out songs for several hours. Given that demanding schedule, you might think these performers take extra care to keep their voices healthy, getting lots of sleep, warming up vocally before shows, avoiding drugs and alcohol. But a new survey suggests that's not the case. Instead, the report's authors say, professional singers may just be exceptional athletes who can perform night after night without experiencing the wear and tear the rest of us might. From the Here and Now contributing station WHYY, Christopher Intagliata explains.
I'm sitting backstage with the Broadway singer Jared Spector.
We are in my dressing room at the Stephen Sondheim Theater on West 43rd Street, right near Times Square.
He just got a Tony nomination for his role as Barry Mann in Beautiful, the Carole King musical. And right now he's running through a few warm-up exercises, a half-hour routine he does before most shows.
As long as I'm good and warmed up, I can sing anything in my range, including falsetto.
Which he sang a lot of in his 6 years playing Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys.
It's a relentless, never-ending task to take care of your body so that you can hit those notes day after day after day. Because if you do anything the night before, going out and drinking, screaming, if you get sick, anything that takes away, say, the top 10% of your range, well, you're out. That's it. You can't sing it. You have to be in the utmost health at all times to be able to sing a role of, you know, that difficulty. After a while, you know, you learn what your personal limits are. I would struggle with something like acid reflux, so I had to make sure I didn't eat too close to bed. But having a glass of wine at night, a couple nights a week, certainly not a problem.
And regular checkups at the doctor are a must.
I'd rather go and then tell me you're fine. And when they tell me you're not fine, you have to take a couple of days off of singing. Then I do.
But Jared's routine isn't necessarily the norm among Broadway singers.
Only about half of them warm up. I mean, again, these are high-level vocal athletes that go on a stage relatively cold.
That's Ryan Bransky, Associate Director of New York University's Voice Center, a place where some Broadway singers go when they hurt their voices.
We just looked at 25 vocal folds this morning.
Vocal folds is the anatomical term for vocal cords.
In health, they're nice and shiny, kind of pearly white. They're pliable and loose and floppy. But then when the system breaks down, you get, you know, bleeding or bumps or lumps or just kind of a whole gamut of things that can happen.
Drew Gehling plays Bob Gaudio in Jersey Boys.
Well, you knew it from the start. Someday you'll break my heart. Now we're all through.
He ended up at the Voice Center when part of his singing range disappeared.
I had a vocal injury a few years ago that I thought was going to essentially end my career.
He was diagnosed with a mild stiffening of one of his vocal folds. During that downtime, Drew surveyed 135 of his fellow performers, both lead and ensemble, about their habits off stage. He asked
a slew of questions regarding their warm-up habits, their cool-down habits, their alcohol intake, their sleep, caffeine intake, the difficulty of their shows and jobs.
He and Ryan recently published the survey in the Journal of Voice, and the results weren't quite what they expected. Here's Ryan again.
You would anticipate that the vast majority of them live a rather kind of boring life outside of the theater, and that's not at all the case. Alcohol consumption across all of the performers was greater than 90%.
A quarter of the performers Drew surveyed reported using illicit drugs, and a tenth said they regularly smoke cigarettes.
This really is a truly gifted group of performers that can get away with a lot and maintain an incredibly high level of vocal health.
So what's the secret?
That is a great question that I'm not sure that we have an answer to right now. I mean, you know, biologically, if you were to, you know, cut off my head and cut off Drew's head, we'd probably sound exactly the same. I mean, the source, our larynxes are probably engineered relatively similarly. But he can do things with his voice that, frankly, I can't.
The rest of our lives, we can't.
They really are mutants. I mean, they are high-level athletes.
And Drew is now a pre-med student, in addition to his full-time career on Broadway.
It's a scary thing to go through, to suddenly be faced with not being able to do what you do anymore. And I feel like medicine is about helping people and making people better. And that's what I want to do.
When singers like Drew do end up at the Voice Center, the operating room isn't the first stop.
You know, we have folks that come in that are doing 8 shows a week that are really struggling. And we see that there are architectural changes to the vocal folds. And so we're on the fence. You know, is this something that we need to consider taking a day off or pulling out or considering surgery? And a lot of times we can send them to Brian.
I'm Brian Gill. I'm director of vocal pedagogy and music and performing arts professions in the Steinhardt School at New York University.
Brian helps singers work through minor injuries by teaching them to sing more safely. And it starts with a little physics.
So the vocal folds are down in the larynx, in the neck. So the airflow coming up from the lungs makes them vibrate. But if there's too much resistance there, the tissue will have increased friction, and friction's the enemy of that tissue.
Think of how friction causes calluses on your hands or feet. The same can happen to your vocal folds. You want to minimize that friction.
So you do things like that are called, in Nerdville, semi-occluded vocal tract postures. So one of the most popular is the lip trill. And when you go, and you have this buzz going at your lips, you've actually created a resistance at your lips, which reduces the amount of pressure that falls across the vocal folds. So you kind of get the instrument going, you get the muscles coordinated. If they're pressing on their voice, that'd be bad. And then they get used to the flowy feeling that more efficient, and then they try and reproduce that in the show.
But aside from that flowy feeling, there's another trick performers can use to belt louder without hurting themselves, singing the right vowel sounds in songs.
The vocal tract, the way it's shaped, has a certain pitch or pitches at which it resonates best. I'll give you an example of E-A-A-O-U.
He's flicking his throat as he mouths those vowel sounds.
When I shape those vowels, there's a particular pitch in there, and those pitches line up with the information that's coming from the vocal folds themselves. And when they interact positively, you can get a really good boost of sound. You can also get like a really belty sound if you hit the right resonance of the vocal tract with the right harmonic from the vocal folds. But in actuality, you're not working that hard.
Frankie Valli used that trick to his advantage, as did Jared Spector, the guy who was warming up at the beginning of the piece when he played Valli in Jersey Boys.
There's a song, Working My Way Back to You, in Jersey Boys. And if you try to sing, Working My Way Back to You, first of all, it doesn't sound right. It's completely out of the style. But, you know, also I was like, how did Frankie sing it? And he doesn't say way, he says weh. So it's Working My Way Back to You, babe.
Working my way back to you, babe.
And you hear the word way because you know what it is, but it's so much easier to sing, and so much easier to sing that high note.
Brian Gill, the voice coach, says you can also hear that vowel change in the tune Astonishing from Little Women.
At the end, the character sings Astonishing, but they actually never sing Astonishing, because if they did, it would tune in a way that would sound too disconnected. So they all sing Astonishing.
Astonishing.
And it's wide open, so they can get a belty sound. If you live in a society where in music theater everybody's supposed to be able to do legit and belt and all these things and sort of gospely screams, and then finding what you can do sustainably is the key to a really long career.
As is taking good care of your instrument, the voice. Here's Jared again.
I find that a lot of my castmates are always like, wow, you're so diligent with your voice. It's like, yeah, because I want to sing tomorrow. You know, when I go out on stage, I don't hold back. I sing full out every single night.
For Here and Now, I'm Christopher Intagliata in New York.
Sasha, we're taking care of our instruments.
Exactly. Good imitation, Robin. Well done for the vocal cords. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
I'm Robin Young. That was terrific. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with A World of Glass, claymation videos set to hypnotic music by artists Natalie Jurberg and Hans Berg, ICABoston.org.